You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hola y bienvenidos a Cobra Kai Podcast. Sorry. Hello and welcome to the podcast for Cobra Kai here on Post Show Recaps. On today's podcast, we are talking about Season 5, Episode 2, Mole. I am your host, Marissa Garza, and this is not a chicharron for one, because I cannot do this podcast alone. I am joined by a man who knows that if you want to get the apples, you got to shake the tree. Jason Reed, how are you?
Marissa, I'm great. Great to talk to you again about Cobra Kai. Listeners, great to talk to you again and to be heard by you. I just want to make a toast to all of us here talking about Cobra Kai. Everyone raise up your glass, your water bottle, whatever you got near you. Kari!
Kanpai?
Oh, wait, was that not the right
one? I don't know. I think you got it.
You're looking at me real weird, Marissa, when I said that. Is my plan foiled?
I don't know what...
Have I been found out? Oh my gosh. I messed it up. First day on the job as a spy, and I messed it up. Dang. Can't even go one day.
Oh boy, Jason. We're gonna have to have a little talk about your spy skills.
I mean, you brought me into your nice room with all your swords. I just came in here and messed it up.
Yeah, my sword room is quite shiny. So welcome back, everybody. We're so, like Jason said, we're so glad to have you here. We are going through Cobra Kai. We can't get enough of it. So we're going through episode by episode. We've already recapped season 5, episode 1, and our hot takes after binging the season in its entirety. You can find all of those podcasts and each one coming up in our very own Cobra Kai feed. It's dedicated. It's very Johnny Silver, very VIP. All you have to do is search Cobra Kai Post Show Recaps anywhere you get your podcasts. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss anything, because we've got a lot coming for you. Twice a week, we'll be recapping an episode, and then we will end our coverage with a global Sakatakai feedback show. And we invite you to send in your feedback to CobraKai@postshowrecaps.com. Yeah, big schedule ahead.
Yeah, that's where everybody around the globe will submit their
the whole globe.
And we'll do feedback tournament style. You know, best ones going against each other, all that good stuff. Till we get one like final feedback question that's the best of them all.
And we promise not to pay the judges. And then
I don't promise that.
Before we jump into it, this recap is spoiler filled, meaning we have watched the entire season, as I mentioned, and sometimes we might talk about things in this episode that relate to the season as a whole. So if for some reason you have not binged the most bingeable show on Netflix, pause the pod, go do that, and then we'll be right here when you're ready for us, because it's quite bingeable. Jason, like, how fast did you go through it?
We did our episode 1 podcast. It was hard for me to hit stop on after the first episode ended. So we did our first episode podcast, and right after that, I can't say that like right after you hung up the pod, but the next morning I sat down, got on my comfy PJs, got all my snacks, got all my chicharrones out.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I'm ready. Let's do this. I binged the whole thing and, you know, what I mean, 9 episodes, roughly 30 minutes each. Probably, I mean, a little more than probably about 5 or 6 hours, sat down straight and just watched the whole thing. And it never felt like overly long.
Yeah, it's definitely like a, it's kind of like a movie broken up into different episodes. I don't know. I think I've called it like a telenovela-esque type thing too, because you just want to keep going. Like it's a soap opera. You just want to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say, Yeah, I don't want to say, you know, it's like a 6-hour movie, because that's such a trope. It's such a trope now when people come out with TV shows and they're like, yeah, it didn't really feel like an episodic TV show. It felt more like a 10-hour movie. Well, I mean, it felt like a TV
show. It's not a limited series. Yeah, it's not a limited series where it's like all one thing. It's definitely a TV show. Well, all right. So this episode two, Mole, kind of really quickly wrapped up two storylines that started in episode one. It was like, boom, boom, we're done. We had everything that happened in Mexico, and then finding out that Chosen may not be chosen as a spy again in the future. It was very quick.
First day on the job, and he couldn't even get through one day. But you know, the Mexico storyline, we've talked about it, you know, in different ways so far. We all, I think, thought it would be longer than this. Mm-hmm. You maybe only an episode longer. Me, I was like, I thought we were getting 6 more episodes. Like, yeah. What happened? But yeah, very fast. And you know, we talked about it on the binge pod. Just, I feel like I didn't get enough. Like, it lacked for me, that Mexico story. It felt like at the end of the season, last season, it was like, oh, we're going to get some like good character, you know, depth into Miguel and his backstory. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out about like his heritage. We didn't really get any of that.
Yeah, it was just kind of like cleaned up pretty quick there. And I bet you, like, I don't know if there's Cobra Kai fan fiction, but if there is, there's a lot of material that can be explored in the mm-hmm. Mexico storyline. But let's start off talking about Chosen. I think in this episode, we find out a little bit more about Chosen himself as a person. We get a little baby Chosen, or at least child Chosen, who is training with his uncle. You can see they're doing the exercise where they're punching sand in the barrel, and he's getting programmed with this information of your head must not forget pain to succeed, train the mind, train the body. And Chosen's like listening to all of this, but he's also kind of like smarting the system because he put a pillow in his bucket of sand. And it's like still doing the motions, but not necessarily to what the sensei thought. Who was
if I walk into this like training and this guy's got me punching sand in a barrel, I'd be like, yeah, this seemed great, but that seems like it's gonna hurt. So I think I'm just gonna back out. Thank you for the opportunity, but I'm probably gonna go.
I don't really know. I mean, like, I'm trying to imagine the level of pain when we get. I think it'd be more of an abrasion pain than like I mean, sand is quite dense, I guess. I guess there could be a lot of pain all around in that exercise. And this is where Chosen picks up that a man without honor is no man. So honor, I think what's interesting about the season as a whole is it's kind of trying to correct a little bit of Karate Kid 2. I think there's a lot of like plot holes in Karate Kid 2 when it comes to Chosen. So they're giving him this little piece is kind of like, oh yeah, he was obsessed with honor. That makes sense. Something like that. Because he brings it up again when he was training Tori in this episode. He can tell that Tori is troubled and kind of uses that to like reflect some of what he learned when he was a kid back at her and saying, you know, I chose to be a sensei because of honor. I thought I lost my honor, but then I realized no one can take honor from you. Only you can take honor from yourself.
Yeah.
Tori.
Yeah. Karate Kid 2 is like a very like momentary snapshot of Chosen. I'd be interested to see like how Chosen got to where he was then. And then how Chosen, I mean, we understand that through his issues with Daniel by the end of Karate Kid 2, he may have learned a lesson, but I would like to see more of that lesson being taught up. Now, you know, if we want to do spinoffs of Cobra Kai, give me a Chosen spinoff. Sure. Why not? But to go back to like the training of Chosen with the sand, with the pillow, he put a pillow in the sand thing to soften the blow. And his uncle's like, what are you doing, bro? Like, don't do that. He takes the pillow, he shames him for that. And then Baby Chosen's like, okay, but I'm still gonna put this pillow back in here. And I'm still gonna do that. So I was like, good for you, Chosen. Good for you, Baby Chosen. Because your uncle is crazy. Like, I'm not trying to mangle my hands. I'll put the pillow back in there too. That was smart.
Good yeah, job, I mean, Chosen. I think one of the things that became apparent to me by rewatching this episode after watching the whole season is you can make a pretty clear comparison between Chosen and Johnny Lawrence in their mentality, their motivation, things
their
like that.
A little maniacal, a little crazy.
Yes, yeah, a little bit, but also like outsmarting the system a little bit. And Chosen was doing that here with the pillow in the sand, and then also like. But Chosen was then like using manipulation on Tori, which I don't know if I see so much in Johnny Lawrence all of the time.
You mean the manipulation factor?
Yeah.
I don't think, no disrespect to Johnny, but I just don't think Johnny is smart enough to really manipulate people.
Yeah, exactly.
I think Johnny's a pretty straightforward dude, and Johnny's going to say what Johnny is thinking at all times, as you see a little bit in this episode. Yeah, I don't think Johnny has the manipulation gene in him, even though he was, taught by one of the best manipulators around in Kreese. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't think Johnny has that particular skill set in.
Yeah, I think at one point in the season, Amanda says, no offense, Johnny, you're like a blunt instrument. Like, you're not very strategic.
Exactly. That's what Johnny Lawrence is. And that's part of why we love Johnny Lawrence as yes. he is now.
Yes, agreed. Well, speaking of Johnny Lawrence, let's talk about the father-son and surrogate-son bonding that we saw throughout this episode. So Johnny and Robbie, they're in Mexico. Johnny's walking around. looking for Hector the Salazar. ¿Dónde está Hector the Salazar? And this guy's like, yo, I just need you to move your car. Like, you're parked in a tow zone.
He's like, no, America. America.
Mexico?
He's like, no, you're in Mexico, bro. I think he was like, no, you're in Mexico. Like,
yes. Yeah. America. Yeah. You think, like, he's giving compliments about the van, but Johnny's like, yeah, 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 it's a custom decal. Just tell me where Hector the Salazar is, and I'll give you De Niro's, okay?
Why is he saying Hector the Salazar? We didn't really get a good reasoning for that.
I don't know. I don't know where that came from, but it stuck. It was how he referred to Hector the entire time.
I mean, so I enjoy Johnny here being the kind of like ugly American without being like too ugly American. Like, they could have made Johnny like really like arrogant, really stupid, and say some really dumb stuff. But he's just a dumb like. It's adorable how dumb Johnny is, like
he's
in these
a blunt instrument.
Yeah, so he's not. it's fun without being like mean to the Mexican like citizens.
Yes, agreed. I was worried about what was going to happen with Johnny Lawrence in Mexico, and I think the fact that in the previous episode he was aware of the fact that he was buying a sombrero and said it can't be offensive because it's in the country, it was their idea, is kind of the level of where Johnny is.
Like, yeah, those are the rules, right?
That's it. That's how it works. Robbie's kind of picking up on the fact that maybe Johnny isn't the greatest strategist, because he's like, hey, if Hector the Salazar is super dangerous, maybe we shouldn't be throwing this guy's name around his car is getting towed.
Yeah, Robbie's like, okay, so I have to be the adult here, I guess.
Yeah.
And take care of things, because I haven't been around my dad a lot, but it doesn't seem like he's gotten any smarter since we have been estranged.
I do feel like that is the role that Robbie stepped into, and I'm glad it's not too much of that role, because that, when kids get parentified, like, I think he's like taking just enough responsibility in the situation and not necessarily taking all of the responsibility in the situation. For example, he's trying to speak Johnny's language here when Johnny says, well, yeah, if you want to get the apples, you got to shake the tree. And Robbie's like, or we could just climb the tree. And Johnny's like, what tree? You just said.
Wait, what tree are we talking about? the tree that you start this conversation with, Dad. Come on, keep up.
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really cute father-son moment and almost like friend moment. I enjoyed seeing the two of them interact that way. So the car gets stolen, and Johnny's gonna need 4,000 pesos, which is like $1 million. Okay, it's like $1 million.
It doesn't get stolen. I mean, it gets rightfully towed. Yeah, right, because they're parked in a tollway zone. It wasn't stolen. Yes.
Good call. Yeah, thank you.
That implies that Johnny was the victim.
Okay? No, good call. Yeah, thank you.
Johnny
Sorry.
Was the perpetrator. It got towed away because Johnny parked in a probably a spot he should not have parked in. And he probably I wanted to see him oh, there's a parking spot right here. This is fantastic, right next to the store. No, you weren't supposed to park there, and now you're getting towed.
You are 100% correct. It has been a very long day for Marissa's brain, but yes, the car was towed, and to get it back, they need 4,000 pesos, which is $1 million. Okay, that's just how math works. But it's really only $200. So Ravi enters this pepper eating contest. What did you think of this whole interaction between them?
The contest was fun. The whole that's $1 million. Leave it to Johnny to reverse the exchange rate. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. Robbie stepping up, and we have the moments where Robbie is eating the peppers, and Johnny's I got money on my boy Robbie. I bet on you any day of the week, which is a way for the show to slip in there. Johnny believes in Robbie. Johnny loves Robbie. Johnny and Robbie are getting on that road to a better relationship.
Yeah, I like that too. Because it was definitely it wasn't just I bet on you any day of the week. It was a after school moment, father looking at son saying, yeah.
I believe you can eat all these peppers, son.
Yeah, I think you can do it.
I believe in you.
What do we think of Robbie's technique here? I mean, we know that he doesn't actually eat the pepper, but at the time I totally thought he ate the pepper. But he employed some kata here before going into the eating of the pepper.
In the moment, I wanted Johnny to be like, what are you doing? Is this some Russo crap? Is this some crappy Russo taught you? Because that was a very zen Miyagi-Do type of stuff.
Do we think that type of move is like Robbie's whole strategy here? Do you think it equally combines Miyagi-Do, Cobra Kai, and Eagle Fang together into one strategy? Or is this Robbie's own thing? Where do we think this falls?
Well, the Eagle Fang / Cobra Kai way, just do it, no mercy, just eat the peppers. And then the Miyagi-Do way is find a way around this obstacle.
Yes.
Use your brain, be strategic. How are you going to, get around this impediment on what you're supposed to be doing? So I think it's a blend of all styles.
Yeah, I think I think it's a little bit more Miyagi-Do than the other two, because he went in with a plan at the beginning. He knew what he was going to be doing. So it's just interesting. I like to see how everything's melding together. I did not like that they got spit in with milk at the end of it. It was not my favorite.
Gross.
I was no.
It reminded me of a scene from The Boys. I don't know if anyone else watches The Boys. It was a rather explicit scene, so I won't get too much into it. But if you saw the show, you know what I'm talking about. My other question is, why does Robbie just randomly have these chips in his pocket? Are they just that good?
You mean the candy thing?
Yeah, the thing he uses as pretending to be the pepper. Is he just walking around with these things in his pocket? I mean, they're really good. I just want to have some as I'm walking around.
Well, they were in the store, right? It was a store restaurant type of thing. So I wonder.
Well, they were the things they had in the car.
Johnny bought. Yeah. Johnny,
yeah. I think he's just traveling around.
And maybe they're just really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's just traveling around with them in his pocket. If I get hungry, I just got some in my pocket. Why not?
How many, how hot, where do you think El Dragon, the pepper, is on the hot one scale?
Now, see, I don't watch hot ones, so I wouldn't know the different, levels.
I'm looking it up.
It's like a ghost pepper type of situation, even worse.
Yeah, they do it by, Scoville's. It's a lot. It's more math than I thought, but it's pretty hot. I guess it's going to be pretty hot. I've never heard of the El Dragon pepper. The hottest I've ever had is habanero. That's as hot as I'll get.
Yeah, that begs a question. Is it made up for the show or is it a real thing?
Well, there's a lot of dragon stuff happening, Jason. So maybe it was a little nod to everything else that's going on. But I do have to say, I hope they felt okay the rest of the day. That was my whole. I was like, I just hope you're
right. I mean, I'm almost positive Robbie probably had to stop along the way to use the restroom a couple of times on their way to Miguel, because Robbie's like, no, we gotta pull over again. I'm sorry, we just pulled over. The peppers are coming back on me. It's an issue. It's a thing. Pull over.
And again, with the drink temperature regulation situation, I would not be drinking milk in a car in the middle of Mexico. It's just not a thing I would do. Yeah, but to each their own. On the other side of our father-son bonding journey here, we had Miguel and Hector. So Hector's just, cooking at home. He's like super excited to have Miguel there. It's like, show me your moves. And Miguel's like, yeah, I study the martial arts and I won a championship in California. And Hector goes, I wonder why I haven't heard of you. Because maybe you have.
Well, okay, why would you hear of this random teenager that won a karate tournament in California? That's weird.
I don't know. I mean, well, first of all, maybe the Valley is more global than Terry Silver thinks. Maybe
he's on the evening news every day. Miguel Diaz has won the All Valley tournament, and Miguel's dad should have heard of it by now.
Yeah, I mean, that's how karate works. That's what I have to believe. We also find out
universe that is in that universe, in the karate, in the Cobra Kai universe, the CKU, as I call it.
Oh, nice.
Or maybe it will be the KKU, Karate Kid universe. I don't know. Whatever. Maybe in that universe.
Yeah.
Maybe in that universe, karate is just all the rave.
Yeah. Obviously it is. We also find out that the kid that Hector had, the kid that Hector had is not his own, is not his. It's from another marriage of his.
Oh,
do you remember her name? I don't remember her name.
No.
But you know her.
I want to say it's Maria, maybe.
Sure. Her, that's her kid. So it wasn't even a half brother or anything that Miguel saved, but Hector wants to take Miguel out tonight, and this causes Miguel to call Carmen and be like, listen, you don't tell anything about me to my dad, and he doesn't even know I exist, and he's not the guy you said he was, and I'm really mad, but also I packed these really nice clothes just in case we end up going out.
I was at home, I was thinking to pack to run away to Mexico. What kind of clothes I should wear? Maybe, just maybe, I don't know, maybe I'll go clubbing with my dad once I meet him, and this will be a good outfit. Is that what's going on through his head?
That's all I could think about while he's on this phone call. I was like, you really packed that. That was a decision you made when you were putting things together.
Death need a club outfit, that's for sure. I'm going to need some lounging clothes, but I'm definitely going to need my clubbing outfit. There's no way about that. I heard this is MMA, this weird MMA club down there that I'm just going to want to go to. So whether I find my dad or not, I'm going to that club.
I need it. If there's one thing I learned from Animal Crossing or anything, you just got to put everything in your bag. You never know what you're going to need, something like that. So at this point, what are your thoughts on Hector before we go to the club? Are you buying this?
No. Hector is too good to be true. This is the classic TV trope. Everything's going so great with Hector, nothing can go wrong until it goes all wrong. So I was waiting for the for the switch, and was wondering when that would happen. Now, I did think there was a world where Miguel tells his father about him, but that didn't happen. The way that this happens throughout this episode was very jarring to me, and we'll talk about it. The way it happened, I didn't see coming. So that was
it was like a swift kick. I was like, oh, okay, this is happening. So they're going out on the town. They go to El Hoyo Verde, which is the green hole okay.
You could come up with a terrible name for a club. Come up with a better name.
There's MMA fighting here. You can tell when you get here, like when they get here, that Hector knows his way around. Like he knows people. He even knows the headliner, Vicente, and he I think thinks that Miguel doesn't understand Spanish. He's telling Vicente like only two rounds max, like obviously he's making bets on Vicente. This is like our first real big piece of evidence that Hector's not as nice as we had labeled him in the first episode.
Is he telling Vicente to throw the fight? Because I was like, what is happening? I mean, I assume he's trying to throw the fight. I had to wonder, like, is this Hector's club? Is this Hector rest of his club? I it was very confusing. I was like, are we supposed to think he owns this place?
Yeah, I was also very confused because I thought he owned it as well, but then it wasn't very clear that what it was. He just knew people. He's very connected to Miguel picks up on is like, hey, you're kind of the mayor, huh? And he explains, you know, I had a lot of money, not from the restaurant business, which I didn't know he had a restaurant until this moment. Did I miss that? Like, was I completely oblivious?
No, I was surprised too. I mean, this was very vague on what Hector's deal is. A little too vague for my liking. I would have liked to have some more background, some more information. Maybe it was in the show, but it got cut for whatever reason. This Hector felt too vague for me.
Yeah, speaking of vague, he's like, it was the kind of business where you make a lot of friends in high places and some enemies too. Well, Hector, that could really be anything. Like,
yeah, that's a lot of stuff, Hector. You're gonna be like, letting me be a little more specific.
What exactly were you doing here? But he put the past away. You know, it's okay. He put the past away.
But my question is, but did you know? Like, because it seems by this episode, you're still maybe in some shady stuff.
But we're gonna cheers to it. We're gonna cheers to it. Salute. Yeah. This is when Johnny and Robbie show up in their FBI shirts. And I just want to make a comment on the FBI. I do not appreciate the FBI shirts in real life. Like, if I saw it in real life, I would be like, I would be making some judgments maybe about the person. I don't know. I just would not. That's not my type of thing. But on Johnny Lawrence, it made a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah. This is Johnny Lawrence attire, like, 101. Like, this is a shirt that he sees. It's like, he probably has, like, four other types of shirts like that at home. He's like, oh, I got this type of shirt at home. I'm going to get me one for here. Yeah. I love when he walks into the place. And he's like, because I don't even know what place this is. Is this a restaurant? Is this a fighting club? I don't know. He walks in. He's like, look at all this MMA grab ass. Like, Johnny has no, I mean, I think I probably would have pegged Johnny as a fan of MMA, but like, and he comes in, he has such disdain for it. I mean, I guess as a like karate guy, he just does not respect MMA as a brand.
There's but, no honor. Is there honor in MMA?
No honor in MMA.
Is Johnny like more honor?
Yeah, I mean, maybe MMA is more like a silver thing. Like, you're really trying to like hurt people in MMA. Like, that's more of a silver crease type of thing. So I guess Johnny has no respect for MMA. He's like, look at all this MMA grab ass. Like, it's so funny how like how much disdain he had when he walked in.
Yeah, agreed. It was a very, but it was also like a very like Johnny entrance, because again, he's like Hector the Salazar. Where is he? Show me Hector. This alerts some of the fighters and workers down in the entrance where they walked in, because Hector gets a phone call, and this turn of Hector was like boom, night and day, because he is on the phone. He's like, don't worry, they have no jurisdiction, and then turns to Miguel and was like, who are you on the phone with?
Yeah, he's like,
who are you calling? Were you following me? Well, yeah, Miguel, he was like, or I mean, Miguel was definitely following Hector for sure. Listen, like, he was talking.
You got me. Yes, I was following you, not for the reasons you think right now, but I can explain. I was stalking you outside. I definitely was.
And like, his tone here, like, it's not only just interrogation, it's very intimidating. It's very like mean guy.
Like, rough Miguel up a little bit, grabbing him by the shirt.
Yeah, and asks for his phone. Like, give me your phone. Don't make me ask you again. Like, really tough guy type of stuff. And he searches Miguel's phone. I think it landed and stopped on a picture of Carmen. Do we think that Hector saw this and recognized Carmen? Do we think Hector put this together?
No, I don't think so. I think he was like swiping the phone, and then for whatever reason, a big crowd yelling, like, I guess about the fight downstairs, like, distracted him and just made him, for some reason, give up his quest. He like, oh, that big crowd yelling made me believe you. So here you go. I'm just going to stop looking through all your pictures now because I believe you for whatever reason. I don't think he saw Carmen. I think that he was swiping and then he looked away and we did, because I think I would hope that he didn't see it and the show just didn't like address it. I think if he had seen it,
yeah,
he would have addressed it with him.
Well, the only reason I wonder that is because his like interactions with Miguel post this interaction with the phone get to be like very fatherly advicey. Like the next thing he says is like, people aren't always what they seem. You can never be too sure. And I don't know, like, I don't know if Hector's that smart or is pulling this. I don't know why Hector wouldn't tell Miguel, or like we would have seen some sort of obvious recognition that this happened. But there is like, there's a lot of platitudes coming out of Hector after this moment, even in the restaurant that they go to later.
Yeah, that's true. But I think just on a show, like from a show perspective, they would have made it a lot more clear.
Yeah, that, I agree.
So yeah, I don't think he figured it out. I think Hector is a little weird as such a criminal that would like take in this random child that, yes, he did save your son from getting hit by a car, but then just really bring him in and involve him in all of his like criminal enterprises so quickly and trust a stranger with all this information. What struck me is very weird. Not Hector, like not very criminal mastermindy.
Have you heard of boundaries, Hector? Like, maybe we need to draw some boundaries a little bit.
Yeah.
So Johnny starts a fight because he walks in. He immediately spots Miguel. He's like, hey, Miguel, these guys are on Hector's side. So they start fighting with Johnny. Johnny tells Robbie to hold off. He's got this. In the middle of the fight, the announcer is announcing the fight. Like, it's an actual fight, which I enjoyed very much. And calling the crowd and the announcer are calling Johnny White Lightning, which was also really great.
Johnny at one point is like getting his ass kicked, and then Robbie is just standing there, like, okay, Robbie, anytime you want to jump in, I know I told you to stand back, but you can clearly see me getting my ass kicked right now. Anytime you want to jump in is cool. But Robbie did come in clutch with the last minute advice.
Yeah, he brought the pepper in, and Johnny was able to put the pepper in the eyes of his opponent in this way. There were lots of roundhouse kicks happening from
lots of stunt doubles. Lots of stunt doubles in this sequence. I do have, like, again, I question Robbie, like, why are you carrying so much crap in your pockets? Why did you just have the pocket why did you have the pepper randomly in your pocket just to throw to your dad? I got a question, like, why are you carrying so much? Are you in like a Pokemon game? You got like a bag of all your goodies? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or he's got the bag holding from D&D. Yeah, it's like, or cargo pants, maybe.
Why are you storing the pepper? I think I probably just would have thrown the pepper away at a certain point. Like, why are you touching the trip with his dad?
It's so sentimental.
Why are you touching the pepper? Don't touch the pepper. You're going to touch the pepper, then touch your face, and now all that's going to get in your eyes.
Yes.
Bad move, Robbie. I mean, you're claiming clutch here, but bad move. Don't carry around that pepper, Robbie.
We'll see. Maybe if you know why Robbie, what's your theory on Robbie in his pockets? Let us know. Put in your feedback.
Get in touch with the actor and ask him why his character is holding around that pepper.
Well, all of this is too much commotion for Hector to stay at the fight. So he's like, hey, Miguel, let's go. They end up going to the restaurant, which apparently Hector owns or something, because I was like, oh, this is a thing. And he tells Miguel, I got to lay low for a couple of days. And Miguel's like, what about your girlfriend and your kid? And he's like, they're just after me for my money anyway. Like, it's not even a thing. And this How is like starting you. To blow Miguel's mind. He's like, what is happening?
How dare and you besmirch Maria's good name and say she's only after you for money? How dare you, sir? You don't know Maria's motivations.
Well, and I think that's what comes out of, like, we get a little bit more into the psyche of Hector and his conversation with Miguel here, because he's like, do you know about Icarus? Like, let's bring in mythology. Okay. So do you know about Icarus? You fly too close to the sun and your wings burn up. And
the sun is the government.
Yeah, the sun is the government.
Like, okay. At that moment, I was like, yes, see, I can agree with Hector. Yeah, Hector's right here. The government's always after you for something. Taxes, whatever it is. It's always they're always after you.
They'll come after you. They will come for what's yours. I thought this was interesting because at the same time, I think Miguel was getting a little too close to the son, the son being Hector. Yeah. But yes, this was apparently a story that stuck with Hector for very long time because he can't go back to Ecuador. And Miguel's like, hey, what happened in Ecuador? Success happened.
Again, I'm
guess
like,
what happened? Success.
What are you talking? Like, what are you talking about? You're being. I need to know why. What you're talking about? Why? How are you successful? Were you selling drugs? Were you doing something else? Like, what's going on?
Does it? I mean, we'll talk about it in a minute. So he explains that he was almost married to that girl. That girl being Carmen. And then he also tells Miguel, like, don't ever do that. Don't ever get married. Like, that's not a thing you should do. Because that girl and her mom tried to stop me and they couldn't even stop my success. It was that successful and I have no regrets. Like,
what if Hector was just trying to open like a restaurant and the corrupt government.
This with Harry Silver the other day too. No. What if Terry just wanted to spread global karate? No.
Hector just wanted to open a restaurant. He was spending too much time at the restaurant. Carmen and her mom were like, you're spending too much time at the restaurant. I spent enough time here. You got to quit the restaurant. The corrupt Ecuadorian government tried to wrap him up in red tape. Uh-huh. Wouldn't let him open his restaurant. So obviously he had to turn to selling drugs.
Obviously.
That's what you do.
Obviously.
You can't open your restaurant. You go to selling drugs. But like,
but here's the thing.
What if Hector was trying to be a good guy, open his restaurant, and then all the pitfalls of the government and evil Carmen and Rosa stopped him from opening his restaurant, so he had to go to drugs. Just think about it, people.
Have a restaurant and a drug business because you might need a front for your drug business. Not saying that this is a how-to, but I'm just saying I've watched a lot of Ozark and I've watched a lot of other
things. I think we're looking into what Marissa's dealings are, folks.
But I'm just like, of course he had a restaurant. Of course he had a restaurant because he needed some legitimate business. I mean, okay, maybe he just really wanted to spread his love of Ecuadorian food across the world. Like Johnny Silver wants to make karate global. He wants to make Ecuadorian food global.
Maybe Hector's the victim here. We don't know.
Why would Carmen hate a restaurant?
Because he spent too much time there. Have you ever you watched that show The Bear? He spent all the time in that restaurant. Like they have no room for personal lives. Like Carmen was upset.
That's true. I did on one of the podcasts ask the question, are restaurants cults? So I could see maybe, which we determined they are not. But you know. They have cult-like tendencies. So I could see maybe it taking some time.
Yes. From obviously, Hector is a victim here and forced in return to a life of crime.
No. No.
Hector, Team Hector.
I mean, I am usually Team Hector, but not this Team Hector.
I'm kidding. I am not really Team Hector. I just want to make sure you all know.
Oh, thank you for
I was joking. I don't want any bad like stuff coming my way. Like Jason supports drug dealers. I do not. I promise.
And Marissa is not also one.
Know that for sure. We gotta look into it. You know a lot about business. You put a lot about business fronts. We gotta look into it, Marissa. I can't 100%
say the cost of doing business is the cost of podcasting is the cost of doing business. I watch so many shows on grifting
and you're an expert now, so you decided to do
I also have no regrets, much like Hector,
about being a drug dealer. You're saying okay, all right,
anyway,
cool. You said it, not me.
Miguel, this is what gets Miguel to be like, what do you mean no regrets? Like none. And he's like, that's the cost of doing business. And Miguel's like, okay, well, I gotta go. He goes out and he calls Carmen. And this is like this part super emotional, right? Like
let me back up for a second, right?
Back it
Miguel's
up.
I was like, I think I gotta leave. And Hector, after having this wild ride with this stranger
on for one,
where he has basically just admitted to him that he does like crooked business dealings. He is a criminal. It's just like, okay, see ya. Like, Chicharron for one.
Yeah, he had to get his
Chicharron. He's like, oh no, you know too much now. I got to hold you hostage. I got to get rid of you. You know
okay. Too much. So that was one of my questions. Do we think we'll see Hector again? The return of Hector.
Ah, so you're hitting on one of my crazy patented theories.
Patented.
Yes, patented. Jason Crazy Theory, TM. What if next season, right? Sekai Tech Guy, right? Hector pops up.
What? Do you think Hector, do we think he's the Johnny Lawrence of Mexico and brings, like, he shows up in a karate form?
Or do I wasn't going to go that far.
All right. Okay.
Hector pops up. He has put two and two together. In the time that since Miguel has left, he's like, wait a minute. I think that was my karate champion son. I had heard about this kid, Miguel Diaz, but I didn't put two and two together that it was him.
He's got moves like me.
I saw him on the news after he left because karate is so
commercial. Famous. A commercial for Sekai Tech Guy.
So he puts two and two together. And that's my son. He goes over to Sekai Tech Guy. Says, listen, Miguel, I need you to throw the Sekai Tech Guy. I put a lot of money on your opponent.
Ooh, Jason.
And I'm going to need you to throw it or else. You know, or else.
No, I don't. I mean, you're probably onto something, but a man without honor is no man. So Miguel will not do this. But
and
I
then
do.
They have to save Miguel from his father, who then kidnapped
really,
him.
Oh, well.
Yeah, well, he's going to kidnap him because he refused to throw the Sekai Tech Guy and lost his father a lot of money.
That would mean that this wouldn't end in Sekai Tech Guy. Like, Sekai Tech Guy would be like episode 5 or something of the series. Of the season.
Well, I would hope we didn't end as Sekai Tech Guy. I would hope the last episode of this series is not the end of Sekai Tech Guy. Because,
I'm saying the end
of season 6 is the end of the show. Yes. I think Sekai Tech Guy, if we're talking a 10-episode season, should end in, like, episode 8. And then we have some, like, epilogue episodes after that. But whatever. In my crazy theory, Hector has kidnapped Miguel because Miguel did not throw the fight, costs his dad a lot of money. And then our senseis and our girlfriends and our friends have to go and save Miguel from his dad. Bada bing, bada boom. I just wrote season 6 for y'all. You're welcome. You're welcome, Cobra Kai. higher up. You got that for free.
They already filmed it. No, I'm just kidding. It's been filmed for 5 years. It's like a retrospective. They go back.
In the vault. had to shoot it for actors got gray hairs.
Miguel leaves. Just leaves. Hector has his Chicharron. And Miguel ends up calling Carmen and is super emotional, super sorry. You were right. How do we think the cry? We have watched a lot of crying. Jason, you and I both having podcasts about This Is Us. How would we rate this crying by Miguel here?
No one on This Is Us says ugly cried like Miguel ugly cried here. It was an ugly cry. Like,
it was an ugly cry.
This is a bad cry. And he calls his mom. And he's like, hey, mom. I'm like, oh, now it's hey, mom. Before
no,
it was,
it's not ma. It's ma. It's not even ma.
Sorry, ma. Hey, ma. Oh, it's hey, ma now. But it wasn't hey, ma when you called me earlier, accusing me of lying, accusing me of all this stuff. Now you want to call me and be like, oh, hey, ma. Sorry. No, keep your hey, ma's. It was all about that earlier. Yell
hey,
at me.
Hey, ma. No.
Yeah, shout out to Outkast.
Yeah, I mean.
But listen, I have a teenager. I have a teenager myself, and this is par for the course for teenagers.
Yeah. It was just like, hey, I'm sorry, you were right. And then I think he's like trying to ask if he's going to go home. And who shows up, Jason? Who shows up?
Miguel!
Miguel. The one and only hero in the FBI shirt, Johnny Lawrence. And the shirt, like, can we talk about the dramatic effect? Like, the shirt is ripped. We've got lighting. It looks like it just rained. For some reason,
I wrote in my notes. I said this is a little too romantic for a like surrogate father son re-meeting. This is a little much. Like the Johnny's in the light of his headlights, and Miguel's like, "Oh my god!" They run to each other.
Yeah, and you've got like they're on opposite sides of the screen. They stop. Yep. They look. They come. They come together. They hug. It's very.
the other jilted lover Robbie looking on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wanted Johnny to be like, why do you look like a main character from Miami Vice right now? Like, why are you dressed like this?
Why did you pack these clothes again? Why? And like, that's it. That's it from Mexico. What do we think this was important? Like, that's my, like, what are we supposed to take away from this besides the Robbie Johnny bonding of it all, besides getting Miguel back, besides strengthening that relationship? The only thing I can think is that Hector is going to come back in some capacity at some time. And it's going to have to be like Johnny fighting for his family, like his whole family against this Hector guy, because I'm assuming this kid's going to be born as well. But that's just my take on Mexico. What did you think?
Okay, now listen, if I had to bet whether or not we see Hector again, I would probably bet against it. I know. Ooh. I did my whole crazy theory.
What happened to TM?
But if I had to be real and be like, am I going to see Hector again? I would say probably not. But this Mexico storyline, especially since we didn't have any other mention of it the rest of the season. We went 8 other episodes. There's no like, hey, remember we went down to Mexico? It bared no importance to the rest of the story. Yeah. I guess it accomplished its goal of having Robbie and Johnny have to come together, and having Miguel find out about his dad, which led to really, I don't know, nothing.
I mean, it led to more like the healing between
got answers,
so. All of them, and it's done.
Like, yeah. Eh. Within 2 episodes, I was like, wow, that was really fast. And it just kind of came and went, and it didn't really matter to the whole season. I mean, I want to say I'm happy that it happened.
Yes, but we got some good moments out of it. Yeah, the only time impact it's referenced is later on. Johnny's like, so like we went on this trip and it brought us together. So I was thinking maybe we could go on another trip.
Like, oh yeah, yeah.
That's very, like, very his fast way of solving problems.
Yeah,
but yeah. I mean, if this is all we were gonna get out of Mexico, I'm glad we only had 2 episodes of it. I'm glad we got the fun that we had, and I'm glad they're back in the valley.
Yeah.
Speaking of the valley, we're gonna go take a commercial, and we come back. That's where we'll be.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
All right, so back in the valley, while there's, you know, shenanigans happening in Mexico, Terry's making his moves. He's planning his plan for global takeover. One of the first scenes we see with Terry is between Terry and Tori. So many T's between Terry and Tori, where Tori confronts him about the All Valley. And he's like, I know about this. And Terry's like, oh, so you know I paid the ref. Tori's cool. Very surprised that he like didn't deny it. And I was like, oh yeah, no, he's not gonna deny it. Like, this is Terry Silver. He's like, yeah, I did that. It was an insurance policy. You still won, but I made sure that we were gonna win.
I thought it was interesting that even though he's admitting to like falsifying the results, he still like kind of puts a little confidence in her. He's like, yeah, you definitely were probably going to win it anyway. Like, you're that good. Yeah. But I just had to make sure. At least he wasn't like, yeah, you suck, so I had to make sure that we won. He's at least trying, yes, to get a little confidence in Tori, a little, you know, add a girl to Tori.
And I feel like this part, this scene particularly, is the one scene that reminded me so much of Karate Kid 3. Because this is like straight up Terry Silver manipulation with Tori as opposed to with Daniel. And going back and watching it again, I can sort of see the Daniel fear, frustration, worry of it all being a little bit more prominent than when I first watched it on the binge. You know, like you go and binge on it, it's like A to B, C. You're not necessarily seeing all the subtext that's happening. But I think this scene in particular is there to remind us that Terry's a master manipulator, because he says to her, I'm not Sensei Kreese. I don't have the connection you two had. I didn't have to scrape and claw my way like you did. So acknowledging like there's privilege here, acknowledging that I'm not who you're used to, but I do know how to take every advantage to ensure victory. And then even asking the question, like, if a person steals because they're starving, is that really stealing? Like, this is what I'm doing. Like, what I'm doing is the same as this thing.
Terry,
like,
Terry, I gotta stop you here, Terry. This is not the same thing at all.
Not. Like,
you are not gonna die if you lost that All Valley tournament. You would still have your millions, possibly billions of dollars. No one's gonna die if you lose this tournament.
Yeah. And he continues like here. Okay. So again, so then with the whole, like, is it really stealing thing? It's like leveling it, minimizing his actions. And then he says, I want you to be here and I want you to be you. Like, who doesn't want to hear that?
Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, I want you to be here. I want you to be you. And if you leave, I won't blame you. It's totally okay. But if you come back, I'm going to make you the future of this dojo. Like,
sweet talking,
I'm going to put this, yeah, I'm going to put this all on you, Tori. It's totally up to you. But guess what? I'm going to do this with or without you. Like,
but I did think if
your
she left,
decision to make.
I do think if she left, he would like make her life a living hell. Like, he would strike back against her.
You think
I don't think he would just not blame her. I think he'd be mad.
But he doesn't want her to think that right now.
Oh, of course. Right now, yeah, he's sweet talking, yeah, and telling her what she wants and needs to hear. So yeah, she'll stay there. Now, do you think that by this point, because, okay, spoiler alert, folks.
Everybody
warned you. Warned you ahead of time. Do you think at this point Tori has been to see Kreese and they've hatched out this plan?
Not at this point.
Maybe after this conversation.
Later. Like, there's a point when Chosen is getting ready for going to Terry's, where they're talking about honor and like Tori's looking at her trophy. I think that's when she decides she's going to go see Kreese. And between that and coming back into the dojo at the end, the conversation with Kreese has happened. Okay. But yeah. I don't think right now, like, I just think she's taking what Chosen told her like 30 seconds ago. Like, you got to face your obstacles to heart, and just like walks up to Terry and says, I know about what happened at All Valley. But I do think somewhere in the course of this episode, that conversation definitely happened. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Chosen, aka Sensei Joe.
I'm just Sensei Joe, y'all. Where did you think, like, how did Chosen infiltrate this? Like, did he falsify some documents? Did he put himself on like some other dojo flyers? Like, yeah, this is the dojo I work at. Like, don't verify it or anything.
Terry follows standard HR hiring practices.
Don't call my references. Just trust me. Like,
yeah, I don't think
I'm from this dojo. Like, you have nothing but my word on that, but that's just what happened. That's where I'm from. See this? Do you think I went and had this printed on my gi from some other studio, just from some other dojo, just to do it? No, this is legitimate.
I mean, it's hard because I can't see Chosen putting that much thought into all of this.
I can see Danny putting that much thought into it. I can see
Danny doing it for sure.
Danny probably did that. Chosen's like, no, I just walk in there and say I want a job. Well,
yeah, that's it.
He's like, no, that's not going to work. Terry is a mastermind, and he's going to know. Okay, Chosen. I'm trying to do a good Danny. I don't know if that worked or not. Josh Wiggler does a great Danny. I don't know if I lived up to that or not.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a Josh Danny on the podcast at some point.
Wiggler.
Yes. Yeah. While Sensei Joe was training Tori, he was like, yeah, that was good, but I want you to do it like this, and like does the move on the dummy, not person, but like the foam person. And
that was like, rude, Marissa. We call them fake people. We don't call them dummies.
Like, thank you. The fake people. And then so Terry's like, oh, you know Tang Si Do or Tang Si Do? And Joseph's like, yeah.
Joseph's like, yeah, you like that, huh?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Where'd you learn that? Oh, Kyoto. Oh, cool. Why don't you come over for dinner? Whoa, this is moving fast. This is moving pretty
Silver,
quick.
Silver sees something he likes. He's like, oh, snap. All right, Sensei Joe. These other like losers that I got from these other random dojos don't know anything. You're the guy.
Yeah. Yeah, and Chosen's getting ready. Danny's like really nervous. I thought this was funny because it reminded me of like someone getting someone else ready for a date. Like Danny was like helping Chosen pick out what to wear.
Well, and he like gave him a jacket that was too small. Chosen's like, too small.
This is where we really get to start to see that Chosen is going to be a fun character all season because of things like that. Danny's giving Chosen, you know, the 411, as the kids still say about Terry Silver.
Totally. That's what the kids say.
Especially in the Valley. Terry Silver is a man without honor. He's going to do things to make you feel special. You're going to have to play his game. And he's got an expiration on this. He got in my head once. Like, this is where I think they're trying to remind us as an audience of like, hey, Danny was really messed up by this. Like, this is still with him. Didn't pick it up on the first time, but definitely on the second watch, I was like, oh, I hear what you're saying now.
Yeah, I mean, Danny's scarred. This is the start of what we're gonna find in like season five, where we like really see, not season five, episode five, where we really see how this has affected Danny and why he is the way he is. Like, you gotta trust me on this. He will get in your head, man.
Yeah, he will. He will. Much like that voice, it will get in your head.
That was so bad. I'm gonna stop doing that.
Don't stop. You gotta perfect your craft. Your craft. Practice makes perfect. Chosen is determined, though. He's like, I will expose Terry's cowardice for everyone to see. And he reflects here, you know, I was not ready to learn about honor. I thought shortcuts would make it easier. And this is where we see Tori sort of reflecting by looking at her trophy. And Chosen goes to dinner over at Terry Silver's. And I gotta say, like, I'd go. The man probably is gonna serve a good dinner.
Like, heck yeah. Like,
you know,
like, free food, a sword room. What's there not to like?
Yeah. He gets some whiskey, some hobu. Did you buy Chosen's story when he was asked, how long have you been in the Valley?
Yeah, what do you say? Just a year? I was going to retire, but, you know, saw your commercial. Nah.
Yeah.
That was not a well-thought-out cover story.
Yeah, I think this is where Chosen's spy skills start to kind of crumble. But he does pick it back up with, like, hey, I don't know if I really want this job yet because you mentioned you had a rift with your old partner. And this is where Terry starts.
Listen, this is not an interview for me. This is an interview for you. You have to impress
totally
me to
Danny
get me
training.
To work for you. Yeah, that's a used car salesman like training that Daniel has put on to Chosen.
Terry's talking about how Cobra Kai is his legacy, which do you buy this whole, I mean, I know you believe that Terry Silver just wanted to take Cobra Kai global and spread karate across the globe. However, I don't remember Terry Silver talking about legacy really ever before. And so this is the first time we hear it.
I would say it's more Kreese's legacy than Silver's legacy. Silver was more just of a benefactor because, you know, he owes Kreese his life. But yeah, I don't think he really started thinking of Cobra Kai as his legacy until he came into, you know, this show, like last season.
Yeah. Like, well, I took it over, so it's my legacy now.
Now it is.
Yeah. Like, okay. And they have this like conversation about, you know, senseis and legacy, and Chosen talks about how it was his uncle and his. It wasn't his dad because his dad died out of cowardice. He lost a fight he should have won. I don't know. I don't remember this. I almost fired up Karate Kid 2 last night before this podcast to sort of,
you know what? Yeah,
remember. I think I might have to do that because I was like, did we learn about his dad? I don't know.
This would be a good time for a flashback to Karate Kid 2 to tell us a little more backstory, if there is any backstory there, because we got no other like details on what happened.
Yeah, I have to assume that if the show doesn't flashback, there's really not much there, that they're just kind of like filling in holes. But we do get a great line from him: rivalries die slow deaths, especially in Japan. And I wanted to be like, Chosen, have you been to the Valley? Because these rivalries never die.
Well, I mean, listen, it only takes like a couple, like a year to, I mean, Robbie almost paralyzed Miguel, and now they're best buds. Like less than a year later.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that slow a death. You know, Chosen had this thing about Daniel for a while until they reconciled last season, really.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the mini rivalries have died a little bit faster than the larger 30-year All-Valley from the 1984.
Yeah, that took a long time. Yeah, that took a long time.
Terry tells Chosen, like, straight up, my rival is LaRusso, and it's never too late to get the last laugh. Well, thank you. We knew that. But here, I'm so glad you enjoyed dinner. Let me show you my swords in my sword room.
Hey, you want to see something cool? You want to see something real cool? You want to see my swords?
Look at my swords. This one was from this, like, really famous ancient Japanese battle that I didn't write the name down and cannot remember. But the sword is called Honored Brother. What I thought was interesting about this was what came after that, when Terry said, you know, there's a few things more valuable than a good story. So I think that Terry's main weapon is story and manipulation, is not karate. Like, it's just straight up marketing and deep manipulation. And Chosen said, belief in story much more valuable. So, like, yeah, you can tell me whatever story you want, but if I don't believe it, it doesn't mean anything to me.
And Chosen's like, I hope you believe in the story that I'm telling you, that I'm Sensei Joe and not Chosen.
Yeah,
that'd be real valuable.
this is where Chosen really, like, leans into the spy-ness of it all. So what's your big plan?
Props to Terry for not villain monologuing here, like some villains would do. Well, let me explain my whole plan right here. He makes Chosen work for it a little bit.
Agreed. But again, he says, I never had kids and I want to leave a legacy. I still don't buy it. I'm not belief, not in story.
You all of a sudden at the age of 60 something want to leave a legacy?
Yeah, not believing that one so much. But this one I do believe. He wants Cobra Kai to be like the Starbucks of karate. That one I believe. That one I can totally see Terry putting 100% of his efforts behind. The lessons we teach these kids are ones everyone needs, like kids all over the world need.
We gotta teach all little kids how to be little douchebags all over the world.
I don't know.
How to paralyze opponents.
And he does say, you know, like, I tell you more, but only if you're my right hand man. To which he says, Yosh, not Yoshi, because that's different. That's like a dinosaur on an egg, but Yosh. And they do a toast. And this is where the mess up happens, because they're toasting. Here's to righting the wrongs of the past and coming out on top. Kari. Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. I didn't catch it the first time around, but this time, knowing what the thing is, look on Terry's face is like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You done messed up, Sensei Joe. You done messed up.
Yeah, because the next scene we see with them is Terry's just like in Cobra Kai. No one else is there. Tori comes back in, puts her trophy on the shelf. So she's back. She's in. This is where I think, like, before she walked in, I think that's where the conversation with Kreese happened, because she's walking in, but with like a little bit of hesitation. It's not like straight up determination, super happy to be here.
Yeah, she doesn't really want to do it, but Grandpa's making her do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Grandpa said to come back and be part of the dojo and be like a spy.
Good soldier. For Grandpa. Yeah. Yeah, so Tori comes and goes, and she's like, why isn't anybody here? It's like, I got some business to attend to. So this is where Terry confronts Sensei Joe about Kari, and Chosen realizes, okay, I am much better at fighting than I am at spying.
the thing that Terry used to catch Chosen was a little like, okay, that's like, because I said the wrong toast, like, that doesn't really mean anything. I mean, I just didn't tell you that I grew up in Okinawa. Like, that's a part of my story you didn't get. That's why I have a different toast. Like, see, that's where you're messed up. You're wrong, obviously. But no, Chosen gives up the ghost real easy. He's like, oh yeah, you got me. But Terry's like, isn't that right? Chosen. How do you know that's Chosen, though?
I got you.
How do you know that's Chosen?
Oh, I mean.
You got facial recognition in your house or something?
Yes, I think so, because he was over there. He could like run all this stuff and find out and obviously see that he was tied to Larusso because he probably followed him home or something.
He touched his glass, run his fingerprints.
It's like Mission Impossible inside of Terry Silver's house. Mm-hmm. And he tells all of the senseis at Cobra Kai, anyone who takes this man down gets the job, and I will pay triple. Chosen, this is where I have to say, this show is doing wonders for aging. Like, I am just like, this man, Chosen, is old. Like LaRusso, I'm blanking on the actor's name, Ralph Macchio is 60 years old. And Chosen is older than that. And he's
Ralph
like,
Macchio looks good for 60.
Sure does. That. Sure does. And like, and granted, I know they use stunt doubles and everything, but it's at least getting my mind going, okay, like you can do stuff when you're old. Like,
I mean, yes. Listen, I will say this about Cobra Kai, like slight criticism. You can see the seams of a, like, in the scenes where they have like the older actors actually doing some karate, you can see like those limbs don't bend the way they used to anymore. But yes, what they do is impressive. That they're, I'm not gonna be able to do that when I'm that age. That's right? For darn sure. I can't do it now. So
right, you know. I was really like, impressive. Okay. Yeah,
I would like to know about the regimen that the actors go through to
like get the MCU, like the MCU training. But it's
right,
they CKU eat like training,
grilled chicken like 5 times a day. Like, I'd like to know what regimen they use, how they train the older actors. There's probably some behind the scenes things I can find somewhere. But yeah, that'd be interesting to see and to know.
Yeah, it would be fun. This does not take Chosen very much time. He cleans up, gets everybody on the ground, and this is where he like looks Terry in the eyes and says, "Now we draw the line." He's trying to be very intimidating. There's no expansion, no more senseis, no more challenge Miyagi-Do. Stay away from Larusso. This is a very long list. Very long list, Chosen.
There's a lot of stuff here. That's like, can you take a breath, Chosen? Like, you're asking a lot.
Lots of stuff. But if you cross this line, you will beg for mercy. Okay. And then like Terry just like looks off and is like, okay, well, that's what he thinks. And that's the end of the episode. We get the Cobra Kai logo.
Yeah. Fun episode at the rewatch. I enjoyed the rewatch of it.
Yeah, I picked up a few more things than I did the first time I watched it, and I became more grateful that Mexico was only 2 episodes. We did get some feedback from our friends in the Post-Show Recaps Discord. Todd the librarian said, well, that didn't take long to unravel Chosen, but I'm at least happy it wasn't a Silver somehow knew all along situation and more of Chosen tripping himself up. I agree.
Chosen a spy, he is not for sure. So yeah, it was, I don't know why they thought this would work. But
this is where I started drawing the parallel between Chosen and Johnny Lawrence, because I was like, Johnny couldn't do this either. Like, this is definitely not. Like, they are much the same, which we see like them have conversations about that later in the season. But on this rewatch, I was like, oh yeah, this would not fly for Johnny.
Johnny would have walked in, tried to pretend like 10 minutes, and you're like, you know what? F it. I'm here just to. Get rid of you and stop all your BS. If you don't do it, I'm gonna kick your ass. You got it? Like, yeah, he couldn't have gone through it with much fervor in his deception.
Could you imagine him at that dinner? Like, no.
What is like, they unveil the food? He's like, what the heck is this crap? You got any Coors Banquet?
Yeah. It's not a fish stick. I thought fish only came in sticks. And our friend Sean UP said, this season felt more like the back half of season 4. More spinny wheel than I remember than previous seasons, but also so fun. There's enough forward momentum that I could never complain. Also, Johnny has a new dad plot and everything Chosen related has been excellent. I agree. I think especially these 2 first episodes definitely feel like they could have been attached to season 4.
Yeah, definitely feels like wrap up for season 4.
Yeah.
Especially the Mexico storyline of it all, because that was kind of a cliffhanger-y type of thing that we had at the end of season 4. So yeah, I can definitely see that criticism.
Yeah, and I can't wait till we get to dig into the Johnny as a new dad and explore more of the Chosen shenanigans as we continue our podcast adventure through Cobra Kai season 5. As a reminder, you can find all of our podcasts by subscribing to our dedicated feed. All you have to do is search Cobra Kai Post Show Recaps wherever you listen to us. Like right now, wherever it is that you're listening to us, just do the little search and click subscribe and we'll be there. We'd also love for you to join in our conversation. You can email us your feedback at CobraKai@PostShowRecaps.com. Find us in the Post Show Recaps Discord, which you can join by going to patreon.com/PostShowRecaps, or reach out directly on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, hey, Jason, what's going on with you? Where can people find you?
Where can they follow you
like Hector and Miguel?
Listen, you can find me on Twitter. Don't stalk me outside, please. I have enough of that in my everyday life. On Twitter.
Yeah.
You can find me on JAYR1085. You can follow all my adventures in podcasting. I do have a podcast on this here very network. For She-Hulk, we are going through every episode of the season. We are on episode 5 this week. I do that show with Sasha Joseph. You can find me there. You can also find me on the Rob Has a Podcast or Hap Up Network on a podcast called A Perfect Match, where me and my co-host Asia Welch, we go over the show Married at First Sight every episode. Really fun time. You don't have to watch the show to follow along. We recap everything, make fun jokes along the way, make fun of these stupid people. So listen to that. Leave us reviews. Subscribe to all that stuff I just talked about. Marissa, how about you?
Yeah. Well, I am talking Cobra Kai with you, obviously, here on Post Show Recaps. We just wrapped up A League of Their Own. I'm still going to talk about it because we still need more people watching that show. So League of Their Own, which you can watch on Amazon Prime, and you can catch our podcast coverage here on Post Show Recaps. It also has its own dedicated feed. So if you want to search League of Their Own Post Show Recaps, you can find all of those podcasts fairly easily. I covered that show with Grace Leader and Sarah Ferguson, and we had some guests, including your friend Asia from Married at First Sight, was over on our pod.
No, I was
over.
Yeah, when Asia was talking about it, I asked her, so how long did you guys talk about me pre-show and post-show? How many times was my name mentioned in the podcast? I mean, there had to be some of that going on. I can't imagine you guys getting together without talking about me. So, you know, just curious.
Yeah, it was a good time. Definitely.
You talked about all the stuff you like about me. Talked about all the good stuff I do.
We have like our own like Jason Reed feed.
Yeah, you, Asia, Grace, Sasha, all my co-hosts.
Yeah.
I'll talk. Y'all have your little conversations about me. All stuff you love about me. I know. I get it.
Outside of that, if I'm kicking off any other projects, you can find me on Twitter at MARZBARS. That's Mars Bars. And otherwise, I'm hanging out on the Discord. So if you've listened this far, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And until next time, Cobra Bye.